Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. And we're laughing to start because we were having a conversation and realized we were creating a show and not recording it. So we stopped to start the show.
Always good to record what we're going to talk about.
Right. So hold that thought, because we're coming back to that thought in just a minute. So and this Wednesday would normally be a stitch hour, but we're moving the stitch hour to next Wednesday, May 7th, because Cheryl Lennox, who was with us one other time, some time ago, Cheryl will be back with some quilts that are amazing.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a live show and look at her quilts. Environmental quilts. So we're dyeing the materials. We're like everything. She's creating everything.
Right. Dyeing the materials, found materials. A lot of the stuff is gifted to her. Like she's got these little dresses, and she'll probably talk about how she got the little dresses. And then she couldn't stop making her quilts. She's made several larger ones, and this is a new series that she's been working on. So.
And there, it's part of it. It's an exhibit, right? I mean, she's got them in a gallery somewhere.
Right. They're going to be shown at a gallery here locally, starting May 9th, and it's in Rock Island, and I can never remember the name. It's like the Art Guild, I think, is the name of it. Yeah,
we'll have that next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
But they're absolutely amazing. When she sent the pictures. Right. It was like, holy smokes. And you could tell each one has a story.
Right.
And so, yeah, immediately I got to know the stories. What's the story behind each of these?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the stitching on it, it's beautiful. It's amazing. And yeah, she's a great artist. She really is.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it really comes down to is she's an artist and it's her art and we get to enjoy it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's next Wednesday. So you're stuck with Beth and me this week, but next Wednesday we'll have Cheryl, and they're outstanding. And I'd show you one, but no, you got to wait. Yeah,
you got to wait.
Got to wait. Yep. Sunday is Sarah Resnick of Zolly and Gist Yarn, and Zolly, I know people have seen the ads for the Palette Scout color cards. It's a whole system that they've created to help you select colors. And you haven't seen it, so new to you. Okay, well, there have been ads all over the place. So it's cards, color cards that are for all the colors. And then it's a whole system, like here's the true colors. And then these, I think, are the tones. But it's a whole system to help you better understand basically the color wheel in a different format. And it all comes in this handy little box. And I have to say I haven't delved into it real carefully to understand it. But then, there's these cards that the pure intensities and the tones. And then on the back side then are complementary colors and monochromes and analogous and split the whole thing.
Oh, that looks really good, because I know there's someone who does it like an online version of that.
Oh, okay.
But I hate to say this, I hate looking it up online. I hate going, because then you have to look through all these pictures. It'd be faster just to flip through a deck of cards.
Right.
At least in my mind.
Well, so she's the guest Sunday. And then the other thing they make is this array wool for crewel stitching. Array wool. It's made in North Carolina. It's all U.S. made. You can tell it's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So,
have you tried stitching with it a little bit?
No, that's not coming up tonight. So this array wool is for crewel, but it comes in these spools, And there's a weaving component. I haven't done all my research on the company, but there's a weaving component to them, and I think that that's where this comes in, is the for weaving, because there's these
Right.
it comes on these big spools.
Nice.
But this thread here that she sent me is for crewel stitching, and it's
It doesn't look as thick as the Appletons. It looks a
no,
little bit thinner.
right. And that's where I got to do some stitching to compare, because it's a
Right.
lot thinner. Like this is I would say maybe two DMC strands,
Ooh.
maybe, if
Oh,
that. Yeah.
that would. I wonder how many colors they have. Now you got my little brain a spinning.
A boatload of colors, a boatload of
Oh,
colors. So
nice.
they sent and oh, and then I stupidly threw away the package for this color. But yeah, so this one is forest green,
Yes.
right? And then there's I mean, she just sent me Lotus.
Oh, that's a pretty color.
Yeah, so she just sent me some samples because I didn't even know they had this, and she mentioned that we could talk about that, and I was like, well, yeah, a crewel thread wool
Absolutely.
made
Yeah.
from U.S. sheep in I think North Carolina is where it's made, so it's all U.S.
Oh,
made.
that's
So
nice.
yeah.
That's nice.
So Sarah Resnick on Sunday will be our guest, and we'll talk about those things, and then I'm sure just in my preliminary research, it'll be those things and a thousand other things. So,
Yes.
because that's how it goes. Do check out, we say this every time, but do check out last Sunday's show with Alexandrina Dardea. Her embroidery, whew,
I
whew,
know.
yeah.
That dragon.
Yeah, you were on vacation, and I almost sent you the dragon just because.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I saw that on fa when I saw her working on it on Facebook, I think. And wow, talk
Yeah.
about out of the box.
Yeah. And she's all self-taught. I couldn't believe it. Like she everything is she's completely self-taught. She just figures all this stuff out. I gotta get a tambour needle and try that tambour embroidery
Yes, me too.
just to experience it. I don't know that I'd care to do it all the time, but I might. But it's a fascinating technique, the way they go through that. It's usually tool. What is that, how
Right.
you say it? Tool?
Tool.
Yeah.
And it's with a crochet hook, right? Kind
Well,
of like a crochet hook.
yeah, that's what she uses was using was crochet hooks, but then in her later video she's using the actual fancy dancy tambour needle. But it's basically the same thing. There's like a poke through and a twist and a come up and a yeah.
If what I've read it requires a little bit of learning the technique. You know, it's not like
Right.
some things you can just, pick up right away. But I think to get that technique just right to do that little twist to
Yeah.
make it do the chain stitch.
Right.
Yeah, I keep thinking that would be fun to learn to do, especially if you're doing a big piece and you want to add a lot of beads to it, because that does take a ton of time. And I'm sure that's why it's used in the fashion industry. It's much
Right.
faster than
Yeah.
individually sewing sequins
I
and
know.
beads in.
Well, there's one video she has on her YouTube where she was picking up three and four beads at a time.
Wow.
On the knee, and then just putting them down, and so she's just firing through beads. Where
Yeah.
yeah, you're right. Normally for us, it's this, get one on the thread and put it through and get it to lay just right. She's just picking up three or four and just putting them down and going. And so you
Right.
can see how in the fashion world, to die for, because let's embellish this
Right.
skirt or this
Right.
jacket, and I need it tomorrow. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
Here we go. Still takes time, but not as
Not like
much
that,
time.
yeah, right. So,
Right.
but fascinating from Romania, completely self-taught. Learned. She talked about that, how she just figures it out. She just keeps trial and error till she figures it out, which I admire. But
Right. And I'm much more likely to putter my way around until I find a class that I like, and I'm gonna
yeah.
find a teacher and take the class, and
Yeah.
no,
But
that's amazing.
yep, Alexandrina Dordea. So check that out, last Sunday's show. Really good stuff. And her online, she doesn't have a website. She has a Etsy. So you can buy her designs, excuse me, and instructions, but then YouTube, Instagram, and then Facebook. So yeah, wonderful talent. It's amazing. You find them everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation you had with her.
Yeah. Fiverr Talk Patreon. Encourage you to consider being a subscriber to support Fiverr Talk, and then putting lots of extra content on there. And just this past week, I've got a fun Friday Five. So I do. I'm trying to do every week. So far, I'm 5 for 5. A 5 minute a video on Friday. Last week's was 9 minutes, but couldn't help it. So every Friday I'm trying to do that, and I'm at that. I'm at that. I'm hand to mouth. I've got an idea this week, but I have no idea for the next week. So,
Feed him ideas. Feed him ideas. Put him in the Patreon
we'll take
comments.
ideas. You bet. But patreon.com/fibertalk if you want to subscribe, $5 level and $10 level. And the $10 level coming up soon will be a Zoom stitch and chat sessions. Just this past week, we did our first collaboration with Jessica Grimm. Cindy and I and Jessica. That was
That was
fun.
good. That was good.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. So, yeah, we talked about Jessica made a comment to one of my Friday Fives about how her tip for better stitching was to buy the best possible material that you can get or can afford. And so we talked about that whole issue in terms of thread, ground, or tools. And I learned that my metal cutting scissors with the serrated edges. Yeah.
I'm so glad I haven't invested in those, that I have my inexpensive Kai
Yeah.
that I use.
Well.
See, and I know these are the ones for metal because they have the frog on them.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good move. Yeah, so basically, I'm so proud of my metal cutting scissors that are, yeah, I didn't need them. Oh well, yeah.
Oh well. Oh well.
And then, and then I use them for Krynek. Well, there's no metal in Krynek, so I just
Yeah,
get
and I
nervous
always.
about, I just get nervous about cutting anything other than thread with my $50 Dovo scissors. It just freaks me out. So.
And I normally don't cut Krynek with anything. I have a cheap pair of kid scissors sometimes, or these. I haul these out.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just don't. I think it. I don't know. Will the polyester dull them?
I'm not taking a chance. I'm just simply not. I don't care what you tell me. I'm using something other than my good scissors to cut Krynek. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. Not worth it. So do check that out. Patreon.com/FiberTalk. Subscribe if we appreciate the support. Because quite frankly, doing this thing all the time does cost money. Oh boy. Yeah. So
We
that
don't
support.
only cost you all money, but it costs Carrie money.
Yes. But also we're putting together quite a bit of extra content to go on there, so you're going to get, yeah, we've got several things in the works already. The collaboration with Jessica, well, that was just the first one. We're going to do more, and somewhere along the way, we're going to get involved in talking with her about her medieval gold work and what she creates, because she's amazing. And Jessica Grimm, she has a Patreon. But then, as we've mentioned many, many times, her blog is, you should be subscribed to that. Simply,
Yes, absolutely.
yeah,
Absolutely.
That's a week. You know, that's a weekly highlight for me on the same level as the Inspirations Friday newsletter. Those two, Monday and Friday, every week. Yeah. Say yes,
Always,
top notch.
right. Always some learning something from both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Jessica's
always
always got stuff.
when I get up Friday morning and check the email, and there's the inspiration. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yay.
Let me just set aside a minute here. Yep.
Yeah, let me at least scroll through and look at the pictures.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and if you're not subscribed to Inspirations Magazine, their Friday newsletter, but also the magazine. I mean, come on, just get
Right.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep.
One of the
So
best.
patreon.com/fibertalk will get you subscribed, and we'd love to have you along for the ride. Oh, and I did a Monday. Jessica does a Stitch and Chat thing on Zoom, and I joined the one on Monday, and it was really interesting to see because they were all women from Europe, primarily Germany, obviously, because that's where Jessica lives. But that was interesting to see and to talk to them about what stitching is like in Europe. That was really interesting. I enjoyed that. Can't do it every Monday. Like next Monday, I've got something else I got to do. But yeah, she offers that. That was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been able to join yet. It's not a convenient time, so it's like one of these days. One of these days.
Yeah, because she does it in the evening. It was 7:30 her time in the evening, which was 12:30 our time here in the central time zone. So yeah, that's like next week. I'm out. Can't do it. Yeah. But we'll do ours in the evening, which will be the middle of the night for the European people. Yeah.
Wow.
We'll cover it.
Yeah, it'll be all right. It'll be
Yep.
all right.
So, oh, and we did the show on scroll frames and stitch paths. And the next one we're going to do, and we're going to record it soon, is going to be on starting and ending threads in all conditions. And I was kind of making a list, and it got some length to it in a hurry, which,
Yes. Good. It yeah, because it makes a difference what you're doing and how you're going to start and stop.
right. So if you have questions or input on that, send them to me, Gary@wetalkfiber.com, so we can incorporate them in that show. So Cindy and Beth and I will be doing that show real soon. That's coming up. Well, the fact that I already started making a list kind of tells you we're, getting ready. So, but you've been on vacation. You guys went on a trip here, just got back. And so I was curious now, because you had your little teardrop camper, which is the coolest thing on the planet. And I know you took stitching along. So what, on a trip like that where you're camping and hiking, and you were telling me it was raining,
It
and
was raining.
what stitching do you take along for something like that?
I normally take something that's, I don't care if it gets wet, or I don't care if it gets ruined or if I lose it. So a lot of times I'll take Mill Hill bead kits with me, or I'll take this time I took a Stitch Stories piece, which I don't have the picture any. I must be it's in another. Yes, that one. I call it mushrooms. I didn't buy the kit. I just bought the fabric that was has the image printed on. And I pulled DMCs from my stash. And believe it or not, I didn't have the colors she called for, but that's okay. I just used what I had. And it's nice because then I can just, you're just, it's paint by number, really. She has the colors printed on there. If you buy the kit, then it's really easy because then you just pull whatever color she says and you just start stitching. And she gives you a guide on what stitches to put in. And they're generally fairly simple. And she does list her kits as beginner, or intermediate. I don't think there's anything really advanced in any of them.
No.
But they're fun because I know it can get wet. I mean, it's DMC. So
Right.
if I get it dirty, I can wash it. And it's small, so it doesn't take up a ton of space. In fact, she puts them in, and you can see I have, well, this tin.
They all come in these little tins. Yeah, it's very cool the way she does it.
So this is not where we went. This I just got this patch in here to put on something else. But it come in these little tins, and I put a thimble in because sometimes I need it to push or pull something. I have scissors in my bag. A cheap pair of school scissors is what I normally take. So let's say I lose everything. I lose the tin, I lose my fabric, and I lose the scissors. You know, you're sad.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're losing silk, you're losing your Dovo scissors,
Right.
and she has hoops that come in her kits, but I use one of these cheapy plastic ones. And I can get it pretty tight. So it's
Yeah.
perfect for me. I don't
So
know, I think these are Darcy or something is the name on them.
yeah, Stitch Stories. What's her name? I'm trying to remember her name.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah. Well,
But
anyway,
we
we
did an
did.
interview with her.
Yeah, it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Maybe
But
2 years.
yeah. But check her out, because she's always coming out with new designs, and it's a way to learn surface embroidery without a lot of expense and with a lot of guidance and have it look good.
Right. I mean, this is really nice. It's just basic. Now I think she likes doing it's not a back stitch, it's like a I that's called I can't but I do always do an outline stitch because I prefer that. And then I put some chain stitch in and then I whip them and then I was like, okay, it's just fun. It's just a basic, you're just covering the lines up with whatever stitch you want to do.
Yeah.
So it makes it very, very, very accessible.
Yeah.
I think my son kind of likes mushrooms. He's always been kind of into mushrooms. So I'll frame it, put it on a hoop frame, and give it to him. So it's, and too, again, an easy finish too, because you just put it in one of those inexpensive wood hoops, lace it on the back.
Yep.
If you don't care how the back looks like,
Right.
away you go.
Yeah. But
Like she does.
it's really quite brilliant, because the little tin box, and see, that's why I asked the question, what did you take? Because you just listed, if you're going to go traveling, especially if you're going to camp and hike and things, everything you take, if you were to lose it, forget it sitting on a tree stump next to you, and you drive off and forget, it's not the end of the world, because it isn't some $200 or $300 sampler. It's not 3 months that you can't recreate, but it's fun stitching. And like you said, you can wash it if you get smoke on it, or you drip
Drop it
a
in the mud. Who
right.
knows? Who
Yeah.
knows? Spill coffee on it. You might have to coffee dye it then, but you know, it's redeemable. And the other reason I like taking things like this along is sometimes I do, if I'm sitting and stitching in a public space when we're out and about, I don't care if little kids come stitch on it either.
Ah,
And I've had really curious kids and their moms come up and like, yeah, let me, oh yeah, you can put your needle. Yeah, you want to do a stitch or two? That's fine. Go for it. It's not going to hurt it. You're not going to hurt. They're not going to hurt it. And the only thing you have to remember is to remember to bring extra needles. I did lose one, and luckily I had another one. But always bring extra needles of whatever you're stitching. So I need a sharp for this. So
Right.
I did have another sharp. But.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a her whole product line is just excellent. 'Cause, and we talk about this, and you think, oh, this is cheesy embroidery. It's not. I mean, it's serious embroidery. And you're going to get a piece that you're more than happy to hang on the wall when you're done. Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to mention is I have a friend whose mom has macular degeneration and she still loves to stitch. And I need to show this to my friend and say, would your mom be interested? Maybe not in this one. She wouldn't be interested in that so much, but there's some with like birds on them that it would give her something to stitch. She already knows all the stitches. She knows how to stitch, but she can't see well enough anymore to do cross stitch. But to do this, all you're doing is follow the line. It
Yeah.
and to be honest, you know, do you at some point in time do we really care? It's more the motion, it's the more of doing it that is important than
Yeah.
just than the finished product even, I
Right.
think.
Right.
You know, keeping the hands busy, the mind busy.
Yeah. Well, see, and
But
this is the kind of thing for me, 'cause when people talk about vacations, you know, when you have kids, you go on a vacation and then you come home to rest. You know, those were never, I mean, I had a great time with the kids, you know, Disney World, Disneyland, you know, all the, you know, water parks, that all that stuff. You have a great time. But if I go on a vacation now, I want to go do nothing. You know, I just want to do nothing and not have any obligations, just nothing. And if it's in a if it's in the winter and it's a warm place and you know, you go out to dinner, or you cook out or whatever, but yeah, but go to a cabin in the woods, you know, yeah, nothing. And this helps with that. Yeah.
Because I still have been stitching every day, but maybe it was just 15 minutes. Because that's all I felt like doing. And I just wanted to look at the trees, watch the breeze,
Yep.
watch the rain fall down, you know, whatever. We went hiking several times and I just was like, okay, I just want to put needle and thread together for 15 minutes and then I was done. I was like, okay, I finished. I'm done. I can do something else now. And that's nice too. It's kind of mindless. These are because you're just painting by number,
Yeah.
painting by number.
Yeah, it's all set up. I mean, there's nothing difficult to figure out.
No. But I think when they're done, they look beautiful. I think this is my third one I've done now. So I enjoy stitching them. I find them very enjoyable, to work on and enjoyable to finish.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah, that's yeah, it's good. So Stitched ED, Stitched Stories is the just look that up and you'll see it. And she's got a truckload of designs, and you get on the list, and then she regularly is sending emails with new designs. She doesn't overwhelm you, but and they're not horribly expensive, not really not expensive at all. And she puts in the little tin box, she puts full skeins of thread, so you have plenty of thread. And yeah, it's really well done all the way around. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Well, you had a good time, even though it rained. Yeah.
Even though it rained, it was good. It was great.
I've been working on the Botany Bay sampler, and it's been interesting. One, I've had to change a couple three colors, because they weren't showing up against the linen, and they weren't gonna show up. Kim at Sassy Jack's, she did the conversion for me from because it's Weeks Dye Works and DMC and whatever. So Kim did a conversion to Cosmo thread because I wanted to stitch it in Cosmo thread and still had to have some DMC thread in there, and I've had to change. There was one color that, if you look at the picture, it doesn't show up much on the picture. And certainly, and Kim, you know, Kim came as close as you're going to get. But I just didn't, you know, if I'm going to stitch all this, I would really like to be able to at least see it, you know?
Me
So I
too.
changed the color there. And then in the border, there's kind of these flowers, and there's two colors that alternate all the way around. And the one color was just not showing up. And I monkeyed around and I went through, you know, all the six-stranded cotton thread stuff I had. Couldn't find anything. So finally it was, all right, forget trying to have it be just a little darker and show up. I'm going to a completely different color. Because it's a really dark red for one of the flowers. So then I went with it like a cornflower blue, and it's going to work. It's going to look good. So, But it's been an exercise, number one, in no matter how many threads you have, you never have the one color that you need, right. You know, given that. But at one point I was getting frustrated because I'd rather just be stitching than pawing through skeins of thread. But,
right.
You know, and I think Margo was getting tired of me asking, all right, does this work or does this work? Because you were in that, it was in that area of colors where I really struggle. I just really struggle, and I can't tell. And so finally, yeah, I just went blue. Blue's safe for me. So.
Yeah, it'll work. As long as it works with your other shade, then why not?
Yeah.
So did you stitch a little bit with the blue already now?
Yeah, well, yeah, like here's, I did.
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
So, yeah.
It looks really good.
I think it's going to work.
I like those little flowers, too.
Yeah, they're kind of cute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this part here, for people who are listening, I'll put a picture of what I stitched. But this is the part here that was not going to show up at all. And there's letters that go in here. And there's two levels of it. And it's like, if I'm going to stitch all this border around letters, they're going to have to show up. They just have to. So I made them. Yeah. It's cool.
And I'd be anxious. Yeah. It looks nice. It looks good with that blue because it goes with the blue in the corner. The corners have these satin stitched mosaic sort of things in them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen a sampler where it has these, it's like a four square satin stitch in each corner.
Yeah.
It's weird. Blue and orange. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. I've got a thread here on the back. See, I hate, you never, oh no, that's just a tag. Okay. Just have to cut it off. Freak me out.
Oh no.
No, it's fine. Just have to cut it off. So I've been enjoying that, and then enjoying the Fractor Bees thing. I talked about this, I think, in the Friday Five on Patreon. I'm going to buy some black thread. I got to buy black thread anchor and DMC, skein and cone, and I have a Cosmo. But I got to buy and figure out what is the black thread that stitches the best.
Right, right.
And doesn't fuzz up.
I have black on a cone. I should just send you some on the cone so you can try that out.
Okay. Yeah.
Making a note.
Because the black Cosmo, it's really fuzzy.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I don't know. But because their other thread, you know, none of the other Cosmo threads at all. I mean, they are almost as close to silk as you're going to get. Yeah, they don't at all. But that black is like a furball. It's pretty terrible. Yeah.
Right. So. Right. Well, and you're doing so much of it, and you're doing it on white, and you're doing it on 18 count perforated paper.
Yep.
How many strands? Two?
Two. Yeah. Two over one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So that's been an experience. So I'm gonna get some blacks, and I'm gonna stitch them on paper, linen, and either Congress cloth or regular needlepoint 18 count, and just mm-hmm. and take pictures and just see how they behave, to see if we can figure out, all right, if you're gonna use black, this is the black to use,
right.
So right.
It's such a hard, I know it's a hard color to dye.
Yeah.
Having tried to several times and.
Cause the dye just chews up the base fiber, right?
Mm-hmm. And to get a really dark black, at least for me, I had a terrible time, and I tried several black, Procyon dyes. And I just couldn't, I got it pretty dark, but it kept washing out, and it did roughen up the fabric a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I know one time we even played with the black and the grays. dyeing fabrics with those just to see what they look like, to get shades of gray, which was, it was interesting. It was an interesting
Okay,
experiment to see.
so because black, that's if you listen to anybody who's dyed, black comes up invariably as it's really hard on the thread. But now, gray is just lighter black. Is it different dyes, and so it's not as bad?
It's a different dye is what we
Okay.
were using, a different, because gray is, you can have like a silver gray, a nickel gray, so it's kind of blue
Oh,
or
okay.
brown, green.
So you're dealing with different chemistry then.
It's just,
Oh,
and it's
okay.
just the different shades of how it turns out. And I'm sure downstairs somewhere I have my little swatches of gray fabric that we dyed with notes on what we did, because it was interesting. Because black, you literally can take a drop of black dye and put it in a color, like, and it tones it. It tones it to a whole different color. You can take a bright, bright red and make it a cheer, instead of making it like Christmas red, it'll be cherry red, more or more of a burgundy red, by just adding a small amount, and we're talking literally nothing, few drops into your dye bath, and it just changes the color.
Wow.
It's just interesting.
So that black is just powerful.
It's powerful to,
Well,
and to get it to be black, you have to add a lot.
And there's where the chemistry comes in. You're pumping a lot of this dye into it, and it's just chews up the thread. 'Cause I guess, that falls into the when you go to have paint mixed at the paint store, and if you watch what it is, and they'll put just a little dribble of black in a gallon of paint, and it
And it
changes the
just
whole game. I never put the two together, but
So it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to change the value of it, or change the tone of it, I guess what you're calling it.
Yeah, I think
Got to
it's
get my
tone.
terms right.
I think it's
Yeah,
tone,
tone.
as I've learned from my Scout palette color thing so far.
Yes, yeah.
I'm not even going to
It,
pretend I understand all the color. I'm not even going to, I'm just not.
no, I
I'm
think it's
not.
a lifetime learning
Yeah,
experience.
yeah. I'm
Yeah.
not going to pretend, no.
So
So.
I'm really curious to go back to your Botany Bay. So you've got that blue in the corner. Is the blue you used,
Nope.
it's, you couldn't, oh, it's not anywhere, it's, no, it's different.
Right.
Is it a lighter shade of that blue? Do you know? Or you just
No,
pulled it because you liked it?
it's used elsewhere in the sampler, but
Okay.
no, it's not just a lighter shade. It's just there's two or three blues, and
Okay.
I didn't want it to overpower, because I thought if I use the blue that's in the corner, I thought it was going to be too much, too
Yes.
heavy. Especially for a flower. So then I went with this lighter blue. I think there are three blues in the thing, and I'm not even sure where it's used elsewhere, but I figured it was pretty safe.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I was just wondering if you, because you originally couldn't find what you liked, if you just chose a lighter value of the bright
No.
blue that's in the corner. But it
No.
looks good together, that's for sure. So, and the fact that you're going to use it later in the sampler, that's a good idea too, in pointing that out. If you have to change something, it's always good to just use something that's already used elsewhere, so your eye
Right.
doesn't say, oh,
Yeah,
what's that?
right. Who figured that out? Because I started out, well, like I said, I was trying to get just a darker version of what was spec'd so it would show up, but I just couldn't find, I didn't have it.
Right. Did you
And
try your silks?
yeah, I didn't, because I didn't want to mix silks and cotton. I wanted this to be all cotton, so I
See,
don't know.
and I don't know if that makes a difference. I know when I had to do some over one on, I can't think of her name now. Janette Kirkland from Queenstown Samplers. There was some over one, and I was doing it in Cosmos, so I pulled some Swasserfine 103 and some Vicky Clayton Superfine to find the colors, to find the right color that I needed. So I could do the stitching over one, and just to make it easier. Because there's nothing comparable in DMC that fine. So.
Yeah, I didn't try that. I yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to stick with cotton. And I don't know.
But it looks good. I like it. I
I
like
thought it
that
worked.
blue.
Yeah.
I
I mean,
like
I
that
thought
blue.
it, you know, and I talk about this as if I did it. This was a Marga and Gary collaboration, trust me. And
Way to go, Marga.
most of the rejects were Marga just giving me that look, like, where did
No,
where
that's not
you
gonna
really thought that would work? No. So, you know, I'm not gonna pretend. No.
Yeah,
No.
yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, I think it'll work. So, yep. Last week, Cindy and I had one of those random cycling thoughts where I was thinking about making altar pieces. And so it was just kind of a comment about making a piece for your church. You know, because it was last week was right after Easter and you know, making a piece. And so we were talking about that. And when we were done, I thought, well, that's the last we'll hear of that. Wrong. There've been I don't know, three, four comments of people saying that they've done it or recommending, for instance, like you make sure you talk to the altar guild. That's it, I think most churches it's an altar guild. Those are the ladies who defend the altar and defend the flowers and the communion stuff, and please check with them first, because in my experience, territoriality comes to play in the altar guild.
Well, and here's the other thing. Altar Guild members generally know what's right for the liturgy you're using in your church. So, my daughter is now in a very liturgical church, and she has no clue because she was raised Baptist, and so she's like, "Mom, did you know they have different colors for the different seasons?" And I'm like, "Yes, dear, I did know that. You just didn't know because you never experienced that in your church." So, they'll know, a good altar guild will know that or have some sort of rubrics for that because that's important.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're Lutheran and we do all that stuff, the colors and but that you know the altar guild people. You know, I kind of make a joke that they're very territorial, but they're very territorial for a reason, because just especially when it comes to communion, there's a reason for everything up there, and it must it, you know there are rules for how it is all done, and they're very sticky about making sure that things are folded just right. You know, the wine cup is covered properly with the proper cloth. And all those things. And yeah, you're right. You know, the Altar Guild people, they know all those things. And they don't let you vary. No, you do it right, 'cause they're not going to sit in that congregation and see something off when they're in the middle of a service. Not happening. No.
Not happening under their
No.
watch.
No, not at all. So what comes up is check with the Altar Guild, please. Don't just go make something and expect them to use it. Check with the Altar Guild. But then, you know, I was thinking things that would go, big pieces that would go in front of the altar or go on the pulpit or the lectern in the front, or a big stole that would go on a pastor or priest or whatever. But then Edna Sanabia, I sure hope I'm saying that right, she made a piece for communion. Just because there are all kinds, there's I don't know, four or five, six different pieces for that go with the various peace communion things, and she made this beautiful piece with it's a wheat, you know, a wheat seed head, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. That is beautiful. She did it, and it. What did she use for threads? You listed. She used that gold diamante. So it's spark. I can even see it on my screen. It sparkles to give you that life you need, just to add that extra specialness to it.
for people listening, this will be the lead photo that we'll use this week, so you'll see it. But Legacy Linen 5363. So she's using pretty high count. The linen is castor sugar, 4 shades of DMC floss, and then the gold diamante. And she got all the stuff from Kathy Ray Needle in a Haystack. But the thing is just gorgeous. It's stitching beautiful.
And I wonder where she got her pattern. Did she make it up, or did she?
Yeah, I don't know.
For the wheat sheaf, it looks like that one Elizabeth. She does monograms. Mary Corbett has her book sometimes. It looks like sort of her style of her books. I'm looking her up now so I can get her name, because that's what it looks like. But it's beautiful, and it's beautiful to she did it like a real bread cover too. If right. You show that four-sided, it looks like, instead of just a big square, it looks like it's got indentations in it.
Got flaps so you can,
flaps.
I'm just going to go with a crude flaps. I'm sure there's a liturgical name for them, but so you can cover the bread, because some churches use little chunks of bread. We use wafers, but oh, it's beautiful.
Elisabetta.
From Italy.
Forza. Yes. So her wheat field. It doesn't look exactly like those, but that's. And maybe she made it up herself, but yes. It looks sort of like her work.
It's gorgeous.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. But those are the kinds of things. So that's what's come into play, is those are the kinds of things that you can make without getting involved in a 4-year project to come up with an altar cover piece.
Right.
These smaller things. So check with your altar guild to see what they need. Or maybe, because these things wear out. I mean, they take a lot of work. They get washed after every Sunday. They get ironed. All kinds of things.
Right.
So,
And even though my daughter's in the liturgical church, I made. She wanted something that was green for ordinary time to use for her communion, and so I made this. This is from Avlia. It was the Baltic Easter basket kit, and I finished, and she's got it. I no longer have it in my hands, but. One of the things I told her was, I said, it'd be better if you washed it by hand. And she gave me that look, like, wash by hand. I don't wash anything by hand. I said, but you can, if you want to, machine wash it. And she goes, oh, good.
Yeah.
So, again, it's Cosmos threads. It won't bleed. I know she'd like one in purples. But if I do that, no matter if I'm using DMC or Cosmos, I will wash the thread before I stitch with it. Because purple it's the red in it. The red will bleed.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Not all the time. But that would be my fear. So yeah. I'd wash it and make sure I didn't have any color leaching out.
Yeah. And check with the respective church for the color, and they'll be able to take your DMC color card in, and then they'll show you what goes on the altar, or you can see that and go up there and match the color or whatever. But you want to stay. This one here, Avlia, Krista West, this is a perfect example of the versatility of her designs.
Right.
You can do so
much. It's originally in red. Hers is like a hot pink red, and I was like, I know. I think there's you use rose, like in Advent. It's like the third Sunday in Advent, you use like that pink color, but n never, I don't think of it as an Easter color. I think of white.
Yeah.
That's another way. But anyways, my daughter wanted it in green. She wanted something green. She told me that. And I sent her a picture of the green I was using. She said, perfect.
Oh.
So, but yeah, to do it again, even if you didn't, I didn't do all of it and you used the purples, although I think it might be too bold. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, you gotta do a little homework before you stitch
Right.
something up and present it to the Altar Guild, and they go, "Ooh, couldn't use that." Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no.
Do some homework. Yeah.
Right.
But it was just kind of a little conversation that we had that then the feedback suggests that there is a way to contribute small things that will make a difference to the Altar Guild and to the church. Stuff that gets used all the time, particularly in communion. But then, I got to believe now when Margo was involved in Altar Guild at a previous church, and she'd bring the linens home and then they had to be washed and they had to be, she put them in the freezer and then iron them. And they had to be absolutely perfect. Like you couldn't have a crease, wrinkle, nothing. They had to be spot on, perfect iron. But they were also making things for baptisms. And there was a, so there's another place that things that, like a handkerchief, like if they, when they put water on the baby's head and then they have a handkerchief of some kind to catch the water, I'm sure you could create those. A simple design on a piece of linen and have that be another option, another small thing. And then that would go home with the parents. Because for us, there's a candle, and they had some kind of a, I'm going to say shroud, which is not the right word at all, but some kind of a cloth thing for the baby. But then, that could go home so that the parents go home with something to remember the baptism. And so there would be another option. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's always the christening gowns that people would make, and and because babies are small, you make
Right.
it a certain size, you can pass it down
Right.
in your family, sort of thing. But
Yeah.
yeah, there's always that. And then our friend Gail Bindewald, for her daughter's wedding, made a Hardanger altar cloth, which her daughter kept. They didn't give it to the church.
Yep. Mom made that.
So,
I'm keeping it. Yeah.
my mom made that, and I
Yeah.
remember Gail working on it, and it was beautiful. I don't have a picture of it. I don't think Gail, I don't know if Gail does or not. Maybe she'll
Yeah.
send it to us if she hears this. But yeah, so it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But I can't imagine doing that much work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd have to be, it'd have to really be my church home, and I'd have to know they'd take care of it and
Right.
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of work.
Yep. So it lots of options. Just ask. Just ask. And there's probably options where you can do some embroidery, some cross stitch, whatever, and contribute to the beauty of a worship service or some other ceremony. And yeah. So that became more than, than I thought it would. Yep. So yep. All right, now we got to get to, of course, we're going to run out of time here. What I haven't been paying attention. Oh, geez. This slow stitching piece that Yvette Stanton wrote on her Substack. She has a Substack. And she mentioned about slow stitching. You sent it to me. So what caught you about that? What made you.
Well, I always hear, I hear the term slow stitching, and I know what it means. Like Jennifer was doing it at the retreat.
Yep.
This idea of moving the needle through the fabric and just rhythmically doing it. And all I could think of is my stitching is always slow. I'm a slow stitcher, so
Yeah.
So what is this? What is this? Isn't it all slow stitching? And what caught my eye is how Yvette kind of articulated it, that she, is a noble term for a particular type of stitching, but isn't all embroidery pretty much slow stitching? No matter what you're doing, you're not doing it fast.
Right.
You're not doing it speedy. There's no, so, and she kind of surmised it was kind of almost a marketing tool that people are picking it up to kind of market doing slow stitching. And I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard of it for quite a while. I think the idea behind slow stitching is to be kind of meditative and to slow down and to pay attention to what you're doing. But that's what we do that anyway when we're
Yeah.
stitching. So
But Jennifer, with her slow stitching was just scraps. I'm sure scraps from her quilting, where she just had this strip of cloth and she was just stitching things on it, and it was just a way to just empty your mind. And you could see a mental benefit to that. I mean, at least it looked like it to me. So that's what slow stitching is to her. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm a real slow stitcher anyway, so yeah.
And I think that then there was another comment afterwards on that Substack message, and I can't remember the gal's name, and I took a screenshot without grabbing it. But she kind of mentioned that there's three types of stitchers. There's like the Royal School of Needlework, or I'm going to say like you, where you really care about, it's every stitch is you want it to be perfect. You're about the precision and the artistry there. She categorized that as a group. And then the next group she said are like the artistic stitchers that are more after expressing something with what they're stitching. And I'm going to say like Cheryl Lennox is with who we're going to talk to next week. She's trying to express things about the environment with her stitching. And then there's the next group, but she says it's the slow stitchers. They are just stitching just to stitch. It's the moving the needle through the thread, the meditativeness of it. And then she made this comment, which I thought was great. Here's the key test for distinguishing the different mindsets, the back of the work. The traditional stitcher will be proud to share its neatness with you. The artistic stitcher would sometimes be struck that the back is more interesting than the front, and the slow stitcher would tell you that it's none of your business. And I just love that comment because I think that's true. Because I know, we were talking before the show, I said, people would be, I see the back of this. I'm not, haven't been real careful with the back of this. This is kind of my, it's gotten a little messy. I've got knots, whatever. I've crossed over. I thought, oh, I don't want to knot it off. I'm just going to go across the line. It's not going to make any difference. And then you showed the back of that Liz Matthews fracture piece. I say it looks like the front.
That's the back.
That's right.
That's the front.
And
Yep.
there's the front.
Yeah.
And how can you tell? And normally I do pay attention to my stitching and how
Yeah.
my back looks because there's reasons for it.
Yeah.
But I know Cheryl and I have been together and she's been working on one of her art quilts and we'll flip it over and we're just as intrigued about the back as we are the front.
Yeah.
And then the slow stitcher is like, hey, it doesn't matter. I'm just stitching to piece these pieces together to slow down, to slow my mind down.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Well, and that's to me that, Yvette makes some good points, but that comment to me, when you read it before the show, before we started recording, there's been a thread in one of the Facebook groups where somebody posted a picture of the backside of a piece. Don't know if it was hers or just a picture she found somewhere. I've seen it two or three places. So I have a feeling it's just a photo that's been floating around. And the backside is an absolute rat's nest. I mean, it's just, I can't even describe how many threads are hanging everywhere, piled up. I mean, there's no way you could frame that and not have the front look all lumpy. I mean, just no way. Mm-hmm. But then there's a whole string of people in this comment showing the backs of theirs that are all pretty much that. Mm-hmm. And it's clear you don't get in that conversation and say that, you know, this is not good or criticize it, because as far as they're concerned, they don't care. Mm-hmm. They're just stitching to enjoy it. And right. What the back looks like is immaterial to them. If a thread gets twisted and there's a loop and a knot, it doesn't matter. And you know, I'm over here and I need to get over here. You just go over there and start stitching it. There's a 6-inch piece of thread that's hanging in the back. So what? So, but that comment really spoke to that. Mm-hmm. Is there's a group of people and you could tell these people are just adamant about it. It does not matter. Now, the part that there were several comments where the framer will sort it out. No, the framer will not sort that out. No, I don't know. The only thing that the framer is going to sort out is to put a bunch of fiber fill behind it and hope it looks decent on the front side, because there's no way that gets framed against the board. There's just no way.
Right.
But it, you know, this comment that this lady made speaks to, I'm not worried about that. I'm enjoying stitching.
Right. And I know when you and Cindy discussed the stitch path, and I kind of paid attention for a little bit on, and I thought, you know what? This is really making this no longer enjoyable to me.
Oh.
And so I thought, you know, probably I'm a lot of my pieces I don't frame. So I thought, why do I care? I'm doing this because I enjoy the stitching. Now, I try to keep it neat. I try to keep it tidy. I want it to be smooth on the front. But if I over obsess about it, it just takes all the joy out. Now, something like this, I'm much more careful with my needle point, because I can see it if my threads twist more. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little more careful. But on the Stitch Stories mushroom piece, I know that it's hanging in my son's place. He's a guy. It won't be cleaned. It won't be dusted. Nothing will happen. He doesn't have a wife, so no one's going to care. And, you know, eventually it's going to be thrown away. I mean, I don't think it's going to last forever. So I'm going to put some sort of something on the back so you can't see my little lines, and it'll be framed simply.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm happy with that. I'm enjoying the process. But my Gay Ann Rogers piece, I didn't feel that way about my drawn thread. I was very careful about my stitching. Mm-hmm. Tried to make it as smooth as I could. But that was a different piece.
Yeah.
It was just depends on what I'm working on.
With a different outcome, a different intention. Like that's mm-hmm. going to be a formal piece that gets put in a frame and hung up.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I think white work is a little less forgiving too mm-hmm. than yes. doing surface embroidery like this. I think gold work is unforgiving. You want to make sure, got this piece here. I've got my little hedgehogs. I am making sure when I'm adding my little beady things here to this guy that I'm doing two little stitches, and I know I'm going to put something on the back, some felt, and it'll be glued. But I'm really trying not to get knots and lumps on the back, because I think that'll look, you might not notice it on the front because I've got so much stitching, but I think you just need to be careful with it. It's a good practice for when I'm doing other things that matter more. You know, and so it's a good practice on this gold work piece, because I know on other gold work pieces, it's more important.
Yeah.
And it's just a good practice.
Yeah. Now see, but for me, it's everything I do the same, but that's just the way. And I've heard people say that male stitchers are more like me. In that male stitchers are more picky, and I don't know if this is 100% true, but I've heard people say that, women say, that men are more picky about that kind of stuff, and women will let things go. That's not the right phrase, but women don't worry about it as much. And right. Like in your case, what is the end result going to be? Does it really warrant this extra effort? Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it depends. You got to think about it. I know I was listening to Katie Strachan before we got on, and she was discussing whether you should carry your threads. And something like, let me see, I can't, like, I can see it in here. I've got some carried threads in the back. And she said, when you, like, if I was going to finish this flat on something, on a board, then you will see the lump and the line that goes across because of the way you're attaching it. But as long as I put fiberfill and or something else on it, you're not going to know. But if I was going to finish this as a box finish where I glued this onto paper and then glued you use glue on something like that, it makes a difference. So it got me thinking about my casket, because that's how she does a lot of casketry work. And it made me think, oh, I got to be really careful about drawing my thread across places, because she's right. There'll be a lump in my fabric if I'm not careful, and you will see that. And after spending all that stinking time on that silly casket, I certainly
don't
want a lump on my casket.
Well,
it's important to know how you're finishing it. How are you going to finish the piece?
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, that was, you know, that was something with this Fractor B thing. There gets to be so many colors in the middle that finishing off on the back, I had to start taking a look at how many threads I was going to finish off under the same thread, because I was going to have a lump in the middle of some of these little flowers. And so I had to start going off to the side to finish off the threads, because I was starting to create a raised area in the back that would show up. And this is paper, so it's much less forgiving in the final analysis than cloth. So I don't know. I have always been like that. I'm just really picky about the back, no matter what it is. It's just me. And
right. And I do know some women who are very, very picky about their stitch pass on the back and how they do it. And that's just, I think it's how they were taught too.
Yeah.
And there was a, or, you know, Deb DeCrane and her Japanese embroidery.
Right. Now I there's,
mean, she is,
ooh.
there's picky. You gotta do that a certain way or it's not gonna,
right.
You have all sorts of issues.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it depends on how you finish.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in the stitch path and how you in planning that out. I mean, to me that's part of the fun and the challenge, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll admit that to sit down and figure out how I'm going to do it, I enjoy doing that. Right. And but then I also have a purpose in doing that, in that I want that back clean. You know. And I enjoy people, you can't look at my back. I like to look at, especially experienced stitchers, I love to look at the back of their pieces, because I learn things about how they go about their stitching. You know, if you've got a beautiful front, all right, where did you go with that? How did you handle that? And so then, to me, that goes in the head as, all right, next time I'm going to do that, because it obviously worked. And I think there's things to be learned. Now, that picture of that rat's nest of a thing, there's nothing to be learned there.
No. And it does make a difference on the front. If you have a bunch of knots, if you have a bunch of things, and you just have to remember that on how you're going to finish. But if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother you.
Right. And, that's the beauty. It's if you don't mind, then do it your way. Nobody's going to stop you.
Nope.
And you don't have to defend it.
Nope.
But Yeah, I'm just, I can't.
Yeah, no. And I think that the, when I first started stitching, I had more lumps and bumps on the back. And where it bothered me is when you got it framed. And I
Yeah.
was realizing, yeah, that just doesn't look right. I spent so much time on that. I do want my front to look good, so I need to pay a little bit more attention to my back.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's, yeah, like the Botany Bay sampler and, those big samplers with all the silk and all the money and time you put into them. When you get them framed up and spend $300, $400 on a big frame and everything, yeah, you want it just right.
Right. You want it to look good.
Yeah.
You want it to look good.
Yeah, you don't want that one motif jumping out like it's got a not, a big ball behind it or something. So I don't know. But
No.
I could tell in this Facebook group that you could get into a lot of trouble because the majority of the people were just not interested in hearing about clean backs. Nope. Just I just stitch. Okay.
You have to stitch.
It's your
Okay.
choice. Yeah. Yep. So I don't know. That's probably part of why I'm such a slow stitcher is because I'm always, but I enjoy it. So, yeah.
But and that's it. I think that's the bottom line. If it becomes where it's work, I mean, yes, sometimes you're trying to finish something for somebody or you're trying to do something. But if it's becoming so it's just become work, then maybe not. Maybe take a break from it.
Yeah. But
Step back.
it's interesting that when Cindy and I talked about that and when we did that stitch path thing, that we got you thinking, but then you were only willing to go so far with that. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, I realized I didn't enjoy thinking about it so much. It became I was spending too much time thinking about which direction I was going, where I was going with my. I
No.
was like, no, I just need my front to look good. And
Yeah.
as long as it looks good to me and I'm happy, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Now I realize that if I ever, some of my stuff, I know I feel like I can see a lump in my, because I didn't do enough tension. One of my stitches isn't quite tight enough. But I'm like, okay, so I'm never going to show this at a show. You
Yeah.
know, I'm never going to send this off to be judged.
Right.
But that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
See, and
I think you guys should. I think you should send some of your stuff off to be
maybe,
juried.
maybe, yeah, maybe. I don't know. that's I that sometimes that's where I draw the line is I do it for me. I enjoy more of the process of it than having something finished, and I'm just good with that. And yeah, I don't know. I probably should, but
I know.
I don't know.
See, and I can like to get all the way to the point where it's finished stitching, and then I'm like, okay, I'm done. It doesn't need to be fully finished, but it's done. So now I can go live in the drawer, live in the basement.
Yep. Kind of like that too. I don't sweat it. I just enjoy doing it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the process. The
Yep.
process.
All right, we need to stop because yeah, this got long.
Yeah.
Longer than normal. All right, Sunday is Sarah Resnick, and then next week Wednesday we'll have a stitch hour, Cheryl Lennox with her quilts. Do not miss that. Those are special stuff. So there we have it. Patreon.com/FiberTalk if you want to become a Patreon member and support Fiber Talk and what we do. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.